When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was super necessary.
God, Eric, my God!
Unbelievable! Right there! Done and done! You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
He can't say much other than wow.
Hiya, mate, you okay?
You all right, mate?
Yeah, you can hear me, can you?
Yeah, all good, all good.
Great stuff.
How's things, you okay?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Been fighting my way through London traffic all day, you know what I'm saying?
Sounds horrendous, must have.
Honestly, it took me like
5 minutes
to go 2.5 miles or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, not a fan of London myself. Only been a couple of times, but that was enough.
I'm up here every week, mate, with work. It's ridiculous.
Nightmare. Well, thanks for joining me anyway. I know you're, like you say, you're away with work, so I appreciate you taking the time out, mate.
To be honest, mate, this is probably the easiest time for me to do a podcast because I'm just sat in the hotel room doing nothing. It's when I'm back in like normal life, I haven't got the time like, with a kid and something always comes up. But now is the best time to catch me, to be honest. And I'm happy to sit down and have a chat with you.
Yeah. Now, looking forward to it. So, first thing, always ask on the podcast, first time guest is nice and simple one. How did you get started in combat sports?
I was doing kung fu as a kid. Like I used to love like Van Damme movies and like Power Rangers and stuff like that. And I'd done like kung fu, but I was rubbish at kicking. Always been rubbish at kicking, even when I was doing MMA. I'm terrible at football. So I kind of transitioned over to amateur boxing. There's a local gym up by me. My younger cousin, Matthew, was a boxer. So I ended up going up there with one of my friends from school and just never looked back. You know, I walked through the gym when I was, I think, 11 or 12. And, you know, that was it for me. Like, you know, I fell in love with the sport. And I kind of like, I used to be like quite into football when I was younger. But as soon as I walked in the boxing gym, I kind of had blinkers on and all I cared about was boxing. I, you know, devoured magazine and autobiographies. You know, it's bizarre, you know, how obsessed with it I was. And that was my first taste of it. And, you know, it's probably the biggest thing I've done in my life. And, you know, it just changed the way I am.
Yeah. So what sort of made you want to give MMA a go then if you were so sort of, you know, boxing orientated?
Yeah, it was weird because I turned pro quite young. I turned pro sort of with boxing at like 19. And by the time I was sort of like 22, 23, I had only had like a handful of fights, you know. It was very hard. I wasn't signed with a big promoter, somewhere a local promoter. Lots of times you had to go on the road. It was all about ticket sales and, you know, being a young lad. I kind of struggled with the inactivity. Like I like to be, I still do now as an older person. Like I hate being inactive. I love, you know, having fights scheduled and stuff. So a friend of mine who I'd grown up with, John Phillips, he got into cage fighting and I didn't know anything about cage fighting. The only thing I can ever remember seeing was, remember the channel Bravo years ago? There was like America's like hardest man or something. There was like all these guys from the deep south fighting in a cage. And I was like, I didn't know anything about like UFC or anything like that. So I was like, fuck, this is crazy. So when he asked me at the time, I was like, oh, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. But when I went to actually watch him fighting the show and realized, you know, it was, you know, professional, it wasn't like street fighting, blah, blah, blah. I got into it and it was more the fact that I just wanted to fight, you know. I don't care what the what the sport is, you know, what the rule set is, as long as I'm active. And that's sort of why I went over to MMA. I was bouncing back and forth, and yeah, and that's how I ended up eventually going over to Bare-Knuckle, because I just had this like thirst for seeking out fights and new stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of Bare-Knuckle, you had your first pro fight, at least in that, in 2018, which was, you know, just before the popularity of the sport really started to kick off. How has the sport changed in them 5 years since you've been bare-knuckle boxing?
Honestly, it feels like when I first got into it, it feels like a different sport to the level of popularity it is now, you know. I used to have my own podcast, and we had Sean George, obviously a legend of bare-knuckle, on the podcast. And I actually wasn't there for the podcast. I was away training or something. I listened back to the podcast, and he was talking about bare-knuckle, and like everyone else at the time, I was thinking, you know, hay bales and car park fights and all that. And then when I started watching his fights on YouTube, I was like, this is a bit of me. So, you know, the obviously the rule set hasn't changed. I think it's more the fact that you've got such big names crossing over into the sport. You know, I used to like, people used to ask me, like, you know, what you know, combat sports you do. And I kind of used to cringe a little bit, saying, oh, I'm a bare-knuckle fighter, because you'd associate that with being, like, you know, a thug or, you know, some sort of idiot. Yeah. But now it's more or less mainstream, you know, it's everywhere. So I feel it's blown up. It's gone. I think it's grown faster in the 5 years than, you know, other combat sports did in their first 5 years. I think it's blown up massive, and I think it's a credit to the, you know, the guys involved.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I'm not sure exactly how many, but your last sort of few fights have all been bare-knuckle boxing. Is that what you're sort of just sticking with now, or are you planning to go back to MMA at any point?
So January, what year are we? I gotta look at this. So I was meant to fight. So I was with BKB, and then I signed with BKFC, and I was with one management company, and there was a few things happening over Christmas, and I was training in an MMA gym. So last January 2022, I was going to fight an MMA fight, and it was going to be kind of my like last fight at home, where I was waiting for a bare-knuckle fight, and the fight fell through like on the day. Like the guy, we had a couple of pullouts. We had like an international Brazilian pullout, an Italian guy pullout, and we had this guy coming down, you know, standing last minute, and he sent a photo to the promoter, my mate Dino, saying he was on the way in the car, like on a Snapchat video. And he never turned up at the venue. So I sold all these tickets, and then I didn't have a fight then. So I was going to start, you know, looking around for more MMA fights, because I was still grappling at the time. And then I had a phone call from Dave Feldman. He said, oh, you're fighting on, I think it was April 23rd or 28th in your first BKFC fight in America. And since then, I've kind of just, you know, got the thought out of my head of going back to anything else until I'm done with this sport. You know, I'm getting older now, just turned 37. So it's hard with grappling, you know, like the niggles and stuff. It was, although I enjoy it, like I'd get like a stiff neck, and then that might stop me doing something in boxing. So I got to focus on BKFC now, because it's I'm at the point where it's a career now, you know.
Yeah.
I've gone up to a level I never expected to get to. So I got to put all my effort into this. Don't get me wrong, if someone turned around and said, oh, do you want to fight on a Jake Paul or KSI card against, you know, some YouTuber or something, of course I do it. You know, I've got nothing against them doing it. But, you know, it's money and exposure. But bare-knuckle's my focus, and that's where I see the next couple of years being at least.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, obviously, I imagine the way you'd approach a MMA camp to a bare-knuckle camp is completely different. But how much easier on your body is a bare-knuckle camp as opposed to an MMA one?
Yeah, it's weird, because I find an MMA camp is really, like, it's hard. You know, you've got to, it's more, what's the word, the sort of the timing. So you've got to, like, do, you know, K1, BJJ, wrestling, boxing, as well as strength conditioning. You know, it's hard to fit them all in, especially when you're working full-time and you've got a family. You know, it's hard to get all the disciplines in, and you can't really commit to a fight unless you're doing it. It's not like it used to be, where you used to have like a boxer fighting like a judo guy. Everyone's well-rounded now. You know, these kids coming up today, they've got such a head start, because You don't have to go to different gyms to do the different disciplines. Most MMA gyms have got like a BJJ black belt, a Commonwealth Games wrestler under their roof. So it's hard now. But then the fight itself, don't get me wrong, you know, head kicks and knees to the face hurt, but bare knuckle with the hands, and that's the biggest thing. You know, the camp might be harder, but I find the actual fight, you know, after, you know, especially when you're walking through the crowd and people trying to shake your hands, you know, your hands are in bits. You know, I find the fight after it's brutal. You know, it's another level of stupidity, maybe.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would look at it like that, but as you say, I mean, the scale of it now, it's so, and you know, all the regulation that's behind it and things like that, it's you know, people are going to change their opinion on it very fast, I think.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, especially with, like, you know, you had Conor McGregor earlier in the year attending an event and then jumping in the ring and doing a face-off with Mike Perry. You've got ex-world champion boxers like Austin Trout and Isha Smith coming over to, you know, the British one. You've got so many different people looking to do the sport now for whatever reason. I think, you know, people, it's going to, like, sooner or later, someone, you know, is going to pick up the sport on a mainstream channel, and I think it'll blow up even more than it has, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to quickly ask about the nickname as well, Lights Out. Where did that come from?
Well, I got kind of a couple of stories behind it. Apparently, I used to work in a hostel, and my boss, apparently, he reckons he gave me the nickname. I can't remember him ever calling me it, but he grabbed my grandmother who used to work there as well and said, "Oh, James has never given me credit for calling him Lights Out." I always put it down to my first MMA fight where we were in a show in Swansea, and then an MC there, and he was like, "Oh, what's your name?" And I was like, "Oh, James Lilly." He's like, "No, you got to have a nickname. Everyone's got to have a nickname." And one of my favourite boxers was James Lights Out Tony. And earlier in the day, I'd been reading The Ring magazine where he'd won the Fight of the Year award. So I was like, "Oh, Lights Out." And it's just come from there. Like, you know, it just stuck, you know. And do you know what? Thinking about it, like, I do kind of, I like James Tony style, like to do the show, the role. And so maybe it suits well. And, you know, I've had a few stoppages and knockouts in the bare knuckle, which I haven't had in other sports. So maybe it stuck a little bit well, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely fitting. And then sometimes the ones that do just come to you like that do turn out to be just the best ones. It's just your instinct, isn't it? Just like that. So, no, it's a good one. I like it. So, as you mentioned before, you know, bare knuckle boxing, it's seen a massive increase in popularity over the last few years. Do you think it can get to a position where, you know, people will look at it and think it can legitimately sort of challenge MMA and boxing as being one of the top combat sports?
Yeah, I, you know, people always said about, like, obviously being a boxing fan, people will always say, like, you know, MMA will never catch up to boxing. And although they still are a little bit below, like, the pay-per-view figures, I'd argue that MMA is now more exciting than boxing, because if you're a fan of Bellator or UFC, all your favorite fighters have eventually got to fight each other. They got one promoter. There's not all the dogfighting. Don't get me wrong, when there's a boxing event, you know, like Usyk versus Fury or Joshua and Wilder on the same card, the event boxing puts on is up there. But MMA is catching up. And I think people will look at Bennett and be like, "Oh, it's never going to catch up with MMA." And I think it will. I think the longer the sports goes on, the more and more states in America, the more and more places in Europe, you know, legitimately, you know, get it on, I think it's going to grow. You know, they said about the BKFC Bulgaria we were at last week, they said that because they had so many different fighters from different nations like Slovenia, Italy, Turkey fighting, instead of just having like one country watching the pay-per-view because someone from Macedonia is fighting America, they said all the different countries were all tuning in to watch. They said, you know, they've never seen two people. So that's how the sports grows. The only thing I think with bare knuckle at the moment, and it's not a criticism because I do like the differences, is that you've got three major organisations and they all have got slightly different rule sets, so slightly different shaped rings. And I think the only way you're going to get it to that level is where you bring everything together and have one rule set, one shaped ring, one set amount of rounds and time. And I think that'll that's the only thing that's stopping at the moment is that these three, although two of them are working together now and blah, blah, blah. I think that's the only thing that's stopping it. Although I like it because you can use the rings in different ways. But I think for it to get to that next level, you've got to have one sort of rule set, kind of like MMA, they brought out universal rules. You know, they had one cage, you know, I think Bellator in the beginning had, then they have like perspex around the cage instead.
Yeah, I think so.
But everything's, you know, the same. Now they have slightly different shaped octagons or whatever, but not octagons, just a fucking shape. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah. fucking hell. slightly different shaped cages. But, you know, I think for it to go to that next level, there's got to be like a universal blanket rule. There's got to be like, right, you got to do 5 2-minute rounds. We're only using the circle or we're only using the square. And that's, I think, that's the only thing that's stopping it now from going to that next level, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a lot to do with, like, wording as well because, you know, back in the day, MMA would be get called cage fighting and that just automatically makes you think that it's you know, something awful. And I think people hear bare knuckle, they focus on the bare knuckle part of it rather than the boxing part of it.
Exactly.
And so people just think the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember seeing someone in a concert and he said, "Oh, you do cage fighting, do you?" And then someone else went, "Oh no, it's called mixed martial arts." And I said, "Yeah, is it? You know, it's the same thing." But I see what you mean. Like, you know, you say cage fighting and people are like, "Whoa," but you say mixed martial arts and they're like, "Oh, right, okay." I think it's just those words at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. So you kind of touched on this a little bit before. But obviously, you know, we're seeing big names make the move over into bare knuckle boxing, whether it's a one-off or whether it's sort of a bit more of a career. You know, we've had the likes of MVP fighting Mike Perry, as you mentioned, Luke Rockhold more recently. These big names coming over, how much can that help grow the sport and bring, you know, would you think we're going to get people who watch UFC because of those people and or Bellator maybe coming in and watching those bare knuckle fights?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of like, you know, six or one, half dozen the other. It's good because it brings more eyes onto the sport, but you kind of want to help the legitimate, I won't say legitimate because, you know, Mike Perry's had like four fights now, but like you want to help the guys who are just doing bare knuckle and that haven't. But it's the way the sport, you know, as I said, like UFC one, they brought in, you know, one of the best shoot boxers on the planet, one of the best jiu-jitsu heads, and they were fighting each other. And I think it's the way you've got to do it at the moment. I think it can help the sport. I just think some of the guys who are coming over, some of the so-called superstars, they're kind of using it as more like an exhibition fight where they're fighting another UFC fighter. And, you know, looking for the payday. You know, you've got people like Mike Perry, John Dodson, who have actually fought people in were already in bare knuckle, so I prefer them to do that. You know, maybe have the one, you know, Alvarez versus Chad Mendes, for example, have that one fight and then say, right, Eddie, you've got to fight, you know, Luis Palomino or the number one James Lilly, or, you know, it's something like that. I think they should have that one fight to bring them over, because then that'll put eyes on a regular bare knuckle fighter, which will bring eyes on the rest of the bare knuckle thing. That's what I personally think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's a help and a hindrance a little bit.
Yeah, not just treat it as something that's only going to benefit them. Look at how they can help benefit the sport as a whole.
Yeah, and I completely understand from the business side the reason, because, you know, Jeremy Stephens versus Jimmy Rivera, for example, they're two ex-UFC fighters, two legends. People want to see them fight it off. But then, you know, why not have Jeremy Stephens fight someone in the top 10 or whatever, you know, or get his feet wet with someone, you know, a little bit lower in the rankings and then fight one of the top fives. But I can understand from the bit, but I think next 12 months or so, we'll see the changeover where they've got to fight the, you know, the regular fighters.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So USA Today recently named bare knuckle FC President David Feldman as one of the top five entrepreneurs to look out for in 2024. Knowing that, you know, the guy in charge of the organization that you're in now is being looked at in that way at the minute by, you know, big outlets in America, that must give you a lot of confidence for how the sport's going to progress in 2024.
Yeah, you know, it's David from, you know, I don't know him conversations on the phone. He's a real nice guy, but he's got sort of that tenacity about him where he wants this sport. You know, he's not the type of person who's, you know, trying to make money from it. You know, when they done the deal with Triller, he still wanted to be the majority holder so he can control where it's going. And I like that. You know, he could have just, you know, said, oh, here's the money, blah, blah, you take over. But he does. He legitimately wants to see Bare Knuckle at the top, mentioned in the same bracket as, you know, UFC or, you know, WBC World Championship Boxing or something like that. I think he wants it to be that big. And I think because of his passion for it, that's what's going to drive the sport on. And, you know, for someone who's employed by him, you know, it's brilliant for me to see him at that level. You know, I want, if he does well, I do well. You know, that type of thing. I want to see, I'd love to see where it goes. You know, I'm, as I said, I'm coming towards the sort of tail end of my career, so I might miss that bit where it blows up. But I'd be happy that, you know, I was one of the people in the ground for one. I can't, you know, praise Feldman enough, Dave Feldman enough, what he's done for the sport.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, even, you know, you can tell just from like the way he posts on social media and that, you can just tell how much he loves it. And like you say, that tenacity, it even comes across on those posts. Like, he believes Bare Knuckle is the best sport in the world and he wants other people to see that. So you can't, you know, you've got to respect that.
Yeah, it's mad because I see people, you know, switching over from watching other sports when they watch Bare Knuckle. You know, they I think there's a, like, an honest brutality in it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So your last fight was obviously your first loss in Bare Knuckle boxing. You fought the champion, Luis Palomino. Looking back on that fight, how do you feel that it went? How do you feel you performed on the night?
It was a bit of a weird one for me, to be honest. You know, I was kind of happy with how I performed, you know. I didn't think I won. I thought I let a couple of rounds slip away. I knew it was close. I knew some rounds were a toss-up. You know, there wasn't a lot of action. Our styles kind of didn't gel. We were both trying to set traps. Final later, obviously, Luis was carrying an injury, so maybe he was a little bit reserved on himself. What made it more of a chess match than we wanted. But yeah, no, I was happy we performed. Some people have thought I won. You know, I can't ask for more. You know, I headlined in another country in the Hard Rock Casino. You know, I love the whole experience, you know, and it just gives me to know that if that's the number one pound for pound fighter in the world, I'm not that far behind him. So, yeah, I'm happy to, you know, I'm happy with the fight. Now, I never want to lose a fight, you know, especially at the level I'm at. But I know that I'm operating at an elite level in the sport. So, you know, I can't, you know, in hindsight, they could say maybe I should have pushed it a bit more. Maybe I should have done this. But, you know, it's easy to look back on your fights and say, you've done this. But, you know, yeah, I feel cool about it. I had a lot of respect for Luis before and after now, you know, where we've shared some conversations on social media and stuff. You know, it's cool. Maybe I'll get my shot again. I know there's lots of moving parts in my division, but yeah, it's also good. You know, it was an experience of a lifetime and it just makes me want to get back out there and headline more shows.
Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned there, he's the pound for pound number one fighter in the world in the sport. You know, going a distance with someone, the fighter of his calibre, obviously, that must fill you with a lot of confidence despite the result.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I think there was question marks over me with BKFC because obviously some of the guys who came before me, like Mick Terrell, Tyler Goodjohn and Conor Tini, they'd all won world titles in the, you know, the UK, whereas I hadn't. He's like a British, and I don't think I had as much fanfare as them. I think I was more like a wild card. But I knew that, you know, this is my sport. I've you know, adjusted my game plans. I've got a great team behind me. And I knew that I belonged up in the top. And I just think every fight now raises my ceiling. And like you said, going the five rounds, close rounds with the best in the world, their top guy who has been there since the beginning. Yeah, of course, and, you know, it means I'm up there, you know, fills me with confidence. And it's also given me a different drive. You know, my drive was to get to the top. Now the drive is the comeback, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap it up then, what's the plan for 2024? How active are you hoping to be next year?
I was hoping to get another fight this year. And honestly, I knew time was running out a little bit. They had a couple of shows left of the year, and then obviously they announced that monster card on the 2nd of December. So I kind of knew I wasn't going to fight this year. Obviously, I had Marco Castorani over to train for BKFC Bulgaria. So going over there and cornering him and doing a camp with him was a great experience. But I've been promised 3 fights next year. I know they got shows kicking off in February, so I'm hoping to aim for that. But I don't know who it's going to be at or what weight. It looks like I'm probably going to hang around at 155 at the moment, unless I'm told otherwise. But yeah, I'm aiming for February. I'm still taking over in the gym. The only difference between myself, I train once a day rather than twice a day. And I probably only spar once a week rather than multiple times. But I'm fit now, as I said. I had Mark over. I'd done like a 9-week camp with him. So I'm pretty much ready to go. You know, it's just a lay off a turkey over Christmas, really. And
that's it.
But, you know, it's always the same Christmas time, you know. They give me a fight in February. Like Bobby Taylor, I came back from Christmas. I think I've been on the piss like 4 days in a row because all my family had COVID, so I had nothing to do. So I went out on the piss and they said, you've got 8 weeks. So it was, it's just stuff I got happening. So
yeah,
it's just the way it is. You know, I like a beer. I like eating junk food out of camp. So I just need a date really. And then I'll flick the switch.
You say like about Christmas, and then obviously everyone, you know, indulges over Christmas and rightly so. Would you prefer, knowing that you're going to have a fight hopefully early next year, would you prefer to have the contract signed and sort of be ready to go into camp before Christmas, just so you don't overdo it quite as much?
Yeah, it's a difficult one really, because I'm really bad at like dieting. You know, as soon as I get a fight 6-8 weeks out, I'm committed. So if they told me now, I would probably still have like, you know, Christmas Eve, Boxing Day, Christmas Day, where I'd probably pig out, but I would probably train harder. You know, I pick it up a little bit. But yeah, it's a difficult one because I got 3 kids, so I don't want to spoil their Christmas because I'm dieting. So I probably have a couple of cheat days and then just kill myself as soon as I go back to work. You know, it's difficult. The only thing I'd probably do different over Christmas was I probably wouldn't have a beer if I had the fight signed, but I'd probably still eat the same food. You got chocolates all over the house, you know. It's
I said 3 kids, you'll have chocolate coming out at every single doorway and everything.
It's you know, even the kids, like I got young kids, so the youngest one don't understand. They're like, "Daddy, why aren't you eating dessert with us?" I'm like, I'll talk about it later, you know. I go buy that Halo ice cream, which is like 300 calories for the full time, you know. It's just shit like that, you know.
Sacrifices you're gonna make, aren't
they? I know, exactly. That's the thing, like, you know, I do love, and like the boys and my trainers laugh at me for my diet and stuff, but I do love like the adversity of me being a pig and having to cut the weight down. I do love it. It's become part of my camp, and you know, it's not the right way to do it. You know, I've had nutritionists on board and everything, but it's just become part of who I am. So
yeah, I mean, you've got this far in your career. You're 37. You know, to change your habits now, it just wouldn't be right, would it?
No, exactly. And it's worked, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, look, mate, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome chatting with you.
Yeah, sorry about the rescheduling. As I said, like, you know, life on the road is sometimes nuts, like, you know.
Ah, look, mate, life gets in the way sometimes. It can't be helped. But I said we'd get to it, and thankfully we have. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll catch up again soon, mate. As soon as I've got some fight news, I'd love to come back and share it with you, but we're just waiting.
Absolutely, mate. I'll keep my eyes peeled for the fight news, and we'll definitely sort something out again.
There we are. Perfect, mate. Nice one. Thank you very much.
No problem, mate. Take it easy.
And you. Cheers, mate. Nice one.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
just go now.